are here before you as your people. There are truths that we say yes to. There are truths that we have affirmed, Lord. But you want them to be living, expressed realities, Lord God, within our lives. Lord, when I hear certain things that are happening within this world, even specifically against the church, Lord, where laws are being made, where things are happening, Lord, that are specifically targeted at the church of Jesus Christ. But we cannot help but to speak those things that we know to be the truth, no matter what takes place on this planet, no matter what gets introduced into our life, Lord God, upon pain of death itself. We are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and what we testify concerning Jesus Christ. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hallelujah. Most of us know Psalm 91, but I just want to read a couple verses from Psalm 91 for you this morning. We looked at it once recently, and it bears repeating again today. You can look at it as the Christian insurance policy. If you want a policy, here's something right here. I remember a pastor that I know. A salesman came to his door to sell him life insurance. And he says, I'll listen to you if you'll let me share with you a different type of assurance policy. And so the guy gave the spiel, and he opened up to Psalm 91 and ministered to him about the Christian life assurance policy. In Psalm 91, it says, he who dwells, he who lives, he who has their hiding place, their place of shelter and security of the Most High, shall abide, shall lodge, shall stay under the shadow, the protection and guidance of the Almighty. And David had this truth deeply seated within him. Therefore, it says, out of his own mouth, I will say of the Lord. It was a personal truth revealed to him that he was able to say, the Lord is my refuge. He's my shelter. He's my covering. He's my fortress. My God, in him I will trust. Then he speaks to those that he's hoping that would read this. Surely he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler. How many of you know that you can be delivered from the traps of the devil? From the schemes and strategies of Satan? We all know that. And from perilous pestilence, do you also know? You know, they say that some of these rogue countries, that in some of their medical vaults, that they have viruses, biological weapons, that they have things of disbursement that they can bring to a certain area and cause it to be dispersed into the air and infect people with them. Do you have an assurance and an understanding that God will keep you during that time? And if perchance you die, there's such an assurance that you have that you go home to be with Jesus. As many of you know, that at times we get called, people get sent to, you go to visit people in hospitals, and the signs on the outside of the door say you're to be gowned up and what you're supposed to wear when you go in there. And there have been many times that I've gone where I've gowned myself up. You know, for some reason, it was just I was supposed to do it. But there have been other times where it's like the sign is not even there. I don't even see it, because God knows that these people need a human touch. God knows that they need a contact of an unmasked, unprotected person, not doing it foolishly. It was, the heart was so full of faith, and the person was on their last leg of this life, and God knew that they needed a person in skin to go minister. And God completely protected me. When the nurse came in, she just said, what in the world are you doing in here? And she of course corrected me. She goes, you might as well just go ahead and do whatever you need to do, Pastor, because you've already got it. If there's anything to get, you've already got it. Of course, you know, I didn't agree with her, but I was glad that she let me stay in there. And we have to realize that these things are going to happen and these things will occur. But we also have an understanding. It says, he will cover you with his feathers, and you shall be under his wings, and you shall take refuge. His truth, the revelation of his word to you at that moment, at that time, will be your shield. Do we not call it in Ephesians chapter 6 from the pen of the Apostle Paul, the shield of faith? Amen? And buckler, the truth of God established within inside of you, that you will refuse to be separated from it. And it causes this within us. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor from the arrow that flies by day. What kind of arrow does it say in Ephesians chapter 6 that the devil tries to launch at us? Fiery dart or fiery arrow? Now remember, it says we quench every single one by what? The shield of faith. So what type of arrow or type of dart is usually shot at us? Something to try to get us to doubt our faith. Something that will try to be opposed to something you believe in or something that you trust in. Something to try to get you to think other than what God's word has to say. Okay? Nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand. We need to grab hold of this, everyone, but it shall not come near you. You know, I've read about certain things, the bubonic plague and some of these other Legionnaire's disease and some of these things that have happened in times past where multitudes of hundreds, maybe even up to millions of people died as a result of certain plagues. It's almost like the Word of God is saying, if I've got still something for your life to accomplish, if I still have something for your life to do, 1,000 may fall at one side and 10,000 at your right hand, but until you're done doing what I want you to do, you're completely protected. And that's the place that God wants every one of us to be in, completely protected, okay? For you to have a knowing and an understanding. If something was released, it says, what did it say in Mark 16? It shall no wise hurt you, okay? Drink any deadly thing. We're not just drinking it this way. When you take in a breath of air, you have to have an understanding. As long as God has purpose for you here, nothing is going to come near you. Amen? And just there's just something that you just have to know deep on the inside. And what it says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, which we looked at recently also, that we have to know that Jesus Christ is almighty. You have to realize that you are one with Jesus and he is one with you. The Word of God also tells us in Acts 26. Is it Acts 26? No, Acts 10. Acts 10, 36. It says that he is Lord of all. And what does all not cover? And there's these truths that have to be deeply embedded within your spirit. So when something contrary comes against you, wait a second, Jesus Christ is almighty. Whatever that is, whether it be a virus, whether it be a disease, whether it be financial situations, whether it be a health thing that you're facing, whether it be a loss of a job, Jesus is Lord over all. Amen? Do you agree with me that this world is getting more and more perverse? Last night, I was at the VA hospital waiting for an MRI. They are down to one machine, so they're almost doing them around the clock. And I was the last appointment at 6:20 last night. And I'm sitting there in the waiting room, and the TV's on. And I don't watch a whole lot of anything because of how gross most of the stuff is. And there was this show, Two Men and Something, and it's on. And I am just sitting there getting unclean. It doesn't seem like there's 30 seconds that go by or a minute that goes by if some sort of sexual innuendo, some sort of perversion, some sort of gross thing, even mocking God. Somebody sneezed and someone said, God bless you. Well, he better. I sent him $5. I mean, just even a mockery of the things of God. And there's a big old sign up there, do not turn this channel unless you go to the front desk. I said, I'm the front desk right now. Boop, boop, boop. And I changed it. Because I just felt unclean. Just for the few minutes that was on, I'm just like going, Lord, this is disgusting. And it was on a channel that is called TV World or Classic TV or whatever it was. And I'm saying, if this is already classic and that was said 10, 15 years ago, then how much worse is it now? And you just, and so they went in there. So when, before I got in the tube, they said, well, what kind of, would you like to listen to some music? You know, we can pull up some kind of YouTube. I said, Chris Tomlin, please. I wanted to sit there and bathe in some praise and worship since I was going to be in that tube for an hour and a half. I just wanted to lay in there and worship the Lord. I had to be careful. I was sharing with Michelle and some of the others in intercession. I didn't want to get too upbeat in music because you're supposed to stay still. And I didn't want to start bopping my head or stomping my foot when there's, be still, Mr. Smith. We got to take this picture over. Okay. So I just laid in there and worshiped the Lord. But you know, when things get introduced in your life, you hear something, don't you just feel unclean? And I was like, I'm not going to sit there any longer and listen to any more of this garbage. I'm changing the channel. Okay? If somebody's got something to say about it, then go ahead and say something about it. But I'm not sitting there and letting that filth come into my spirit. And see, that's a way to devil-proof yourself. You have to make certain choices and decisions with inside your life that you don't allow things to come in that you're going to have to get out. Why come here and hear the washing of the water of the Word? Why get the Word of God and, oh, yes, Lord God, thank you for this wonderful wash today, for this cleansing, for this truth, this revitalization of ourselves and praise and worship and hearing the Word of God, and then go home and just like getting a garbage can full of garbage and just having it dumped all over you, and you all of a sudden you start reeking of something else. Right? Make the right choices. Stay devil-proof. Amen? And full of the Holy Ghost. And so we've been looking at this, embracing the Holy Spirit and fire, wanting more of our love to be more passionate for the things of Jesus Christ. And the Lord just, you know, for me to stay still is a feat at times. Because even my legs are going back and forth right now. I'm a teacher preacher. I think I preach more than teach, that I like to move. And it's like the Lord's, it's like you need to communicate this. And people need to hear this because they need it in their spirit. And they've heard it before, but they need it deeply residing in them so they have a clear call when the time happens. There's a clear truth that will come to your understanding because you're hearing what Jesus has been ministering, what God has been saying, what the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you. Because we know from the Apostle Paul, and as I have read at one time, I believe that we're in those days that he speaks of in 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2. Now the Spirit expressly, emphatically, implicitly, I mean, there's just something about getting our ear to what is being said here. Now the Spirit, speaking of the Holy Spirit, expressly, emphatically says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, having said that, that's why I thought of this word. It came to me about being devil-proof. How many of you know you can become devil-proof? It says, in the latter times, some will depart from the faith. Paul wrote about it to the church of Thessalonians. He also reemphasized it again in 2 Timothy. I believe it's chapter 3. I think it's verse 7. It says that there's going to be a group of people that they're always learning. But never able to grasp. I tell you what, we don't want to be one of those, right? It says, always learning and never able to come to know the knowledge of the truth, securing it as a personal reality and revelation to yourself. So I believe that some of these things that I'm sharing here, and we'll be sharing in the future, is you're going to get some Holy Ghost devil proofing. Because you're going to need it. And it needs to be instilled in you now. So we have to look at some of these things as we did in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, where John the Baptist spoke of the ministry, or the baptism, I should say, of the Holy Spirit. And he goes on and he says this, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, and with what? Fire. I tell you what, we need some fire. Some of you need a fire lit underneath you. Okay? Hello? If you're not on fire, passionate for the things of Jesus, then he wants to light a fire, or get this little light of mine to become a blowtorch for Jesus, okay? All righty. Forget this little light of mine. We need, like I said before, we need to change some of these songs and get some power in them. This little light of mine. No, this little blowtorch of mine. This big blowtorch of mine. I'm going to let it burn. Hallelujah. Are you tired of CCC? Cotton candy Christianity. A whole big thing, a whole big, sweet, great in the mouth, no substance. It's full of natural air, fluff. And guess what? You know, fluff is not going to get you through. Cotton candy is not going to get you through. Oh, it tastes good for a little while. But there's no sustenance in it. There's no nourishment in it. We don't want any BMCC. Bless me, club, Christianity. There's nothing wrong with the blessings of God. But if that's all that's focused on, if you're not getting something that's going to help you during a difficult time, through a rough time, when the bottom falls out, to have such an assurance with inside you that even though everything's going to fall apart and you're in a free fall, God's got you. You haven't landed, but you know God's got you. It's almost like you're on a high dive, jumping in a pool, and you see it's empty. Before I get there, there's going to be water or a net. It's almost having that type of assurance. No, it is like having that type of assurance with inside you. And this wonderful, wonderful thing here that is referred to as the baptism of the Holy Spirit and with fire, it's almost like in so many fellowships, even Spirit-filled fellowships, charismatic fellowships, Word of Faith fellowships, full gospel fellowships, it's almost like being relegated to the thing of the past. Not ministered too much anymore, not talked about too much anymore. A greater revelation has come to us that you can have the Holy Spirit and be filled with His power and never have to speak in tongues, as because it offends so many people. And that there are all these excuses that are being made for moving away from a truth that is plainly revealed in Scripture. Why? Because the Word of God says deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons. They get in there and they just put a little twist on it. Don't need to emphasize this too much. A lot of people get scared of that kind of stuff. You know, they get scared of this tongue stuff. Was it that same program where they were talking and says, well, let me know if they start speaking in tongues so we can all run out. You know, even on secular TV, that they're even mocking. So somebody, you have to realize, that was just a scene. But you have to realize that who's ever writing that has come in contact with somebody. Okay? They have come in contact with a spirit-filled person. I'm not saying that the person did it right or did it wrong, but for them to put it in the script, there was a knowledge. And it probably scared them, and that's why they said, so we can run out of here. Okay? But that person will never be able to get away from the truth that they've been told. Okay? So even though that they may be mocking it, there was a mocker in the Word of God. His name was Saul, which came to be known as Paul. And he consented to the death of Christians until he became one himself. Okay? So there will be those who will receive a truth, will hear something, not agree with it, and actually adamantly come against it, but will later on become part of the family of God. Isn't that? Maybe one of you were like that, okay, before you came to know Jesus. Maybe you were one of those who made fun of spirit-filled people. Of course, nobody's going to say, yeah, that was me. Isaiah 53:1. Could you just put that up there for me, please? Isaiah 53:1. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? To whom has the strength of God been infused in? To which of you have secured, and you can rest and rely upon, the everlasting arms? And we should all be able to say, I trust in the arm of God. I trust in the strength of God. I trust in the ability of God. You should learn to be able to say that now for then. Should become a reality to you now for what may take place later today, tomorrow. Isn't there a passage? Where's that passage at, Lord? Good, evil, evil, good. Isaiah. Isaiah, right side of the Bible. Where's it at? Any of you know where that's at? In that day, they will say, good is evil and evil is good. If any of you know where it's at, just yell it out. You're part of this today, whether you like it or not. Well, when you find it, let me know. We are living in a day like that, where what we know to be the truth, okay, Lord, you have it for later on, don't you? Oh, God is good. Okay, never mind. Don't look it up. Pay attention up here. Look here. Now, this phrase, you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and as it says, and with fire in Matthew's gospel, but this speaking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit is mentioned in all four gospels and the book of Acts. Now, for something to be mentioned in all four gospels and the book of Acts, God has made sure that he's put a premium on it. He wants us to have an understanding that this isn't just some fleeting thing, that it is for all of us, okay? As the passage goes on and tells us in Acts chapter 2, I think it's verse 39, and it says it's this promise, this Holy Spirit promise, this promise of the Father is for you and for all those who are afar off. Every succeeding generation, as long as there's going to be, look what it says here, for this promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, speaking way down the generations of people, as long as the gospel is still going forth on this planet, as long as people are coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus, and afterwards they can receive this promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit. Amen? It says, as many as the Lord God are called, will call. Is the call still going out for salvation? Then everybody who says yes to Jesus can say yes to the baptism of the Holy Spirit also. Amen? Okay? And this has to be something so deep within you. And at times, I sense that Christians are timid about ministering the baptism of the Holy Spirit or not timid in sharing the gospel, coming into salvation, but in following up with a person in the fullness or the baptism of the Holy Spirit and expecting them to receive a heavenly language from God himself, the ability to speak in other tongues or supernatural languages, however, or praying in the Spirit, however a person may want to refer to it. But God has this wonderful gift for us. And some of us who have this gift have been negligent in speaking in tongues or praying in the Spirit. And you have to actually stir up the gift of God within you. And if you don't feel like it, it's when you need to. Amen? And stir up the gift of God within you. Know that the Spirit of God is within you. Know that you've received this wonderful spiritual language that will cause your faith to be built, that will cause yourself to be edified, that will cause you to be able to speak mysteries out in the spiritual realm that nobody can mess with it. You can't mess with it. The person who may be hearing you can't mess with it. No devil can mess with it. And it's going to accomplish what God has sent it forth to do. And if God wants to give you the understanding, as Paul said, I will pray with the Spirit, I will pray with the understanding. Expect for an understanding to come. So many times that when I spend time praying in the Spirit, in intercession, before I come over here, the understanding isn't given to me. But it's like I start looking down at my notes and things just start coming to me unbidden. And it's like the Lord showed me a long time ago, the understanding of the speaking in tongues or the praying in tongues that you did begins flowing forth during your message, maybe afterwards to ministry. And sometimes because we get religious, God save us from being religious. We have a thinking in our mind because some congregations that we may have attended or maybe some meetings that we've gone to that we think that it has to be immediately after tongues are spoken. But as long as we are corporately gathered, and if there's some reference that is made, I believe this is the understanding. There have been times where the Lord has caused me to speak out in tongues, and I'll say during the message, I believe that this is what God is wanting said, or what I'm going to share today is going to be the understanding of what was spoken in tongues today. As long as we have a definitive understanding, that God is going to allow us to get some understanding of what is said. Amen? Now, that does not mean that when you're worshiping the Lord and you are... Stay up here, Smith. Okay. that doesn't mean that when you're worshiping the Lord and you're just worshiping the Lord in the Spirit, okay, that it's just in a normal voice, it's not for everybody to hear. That does not need to be interpreted. But when one voice rises above every other voice, you know, out loud, and everybody hears it, then we should have an interpretation. And if not, there should be me that would come up afterwards. I believe that this is what needs to, that this is what God has shown me, is what was said. Okay? So if you're going to raise your voice above every voice, then you need to be ready to give the understanding. Okay? And if the understanding doesn't come, then I should be able to look at you. Let's say Val sitting here. And Val, you know, all of a sudden she gives an oration in tongues. And when she's done, and we're all hearing crickets, and we're all kind of looking at each other like, who's going to give the understanding? And then I should just be able to say, Val, do you have an understanding? And if she says no, either then the Word of God says, if you know that there's nobody there to interpret, keep silent. And if something has been spoken, then I need to trust God as a leader here to give an understanding. Okay? And if I step out in faith, if we step out in faith, let me share something else with you, what's so cool about the understanding. You may just get two words. Jesus wants, you know, Lord, how about, you know, ever remember those tests, fill in the blanks? Fill in the paragraph. He may give you two words, and he wants you to utter out the two English words and then allow him to fill in the rest. See, that's faith. Okay, will you be able to trust the Lord so much if he just gives you a couple words and then and have a knowing that he'll fill in the rest? Or you got two words. Let's say Michelle has, Jesus said, and Scott gets a little bit more, that all of you, and then Dan gets, you should be, that it begins coming out in two or three people, the understanding. And God may just want you to say the two words. But if the first person doesn't ever open their mouth, then Scott won't get his the rest of it, and Dan won't get the rest of that. Okay? So let's not make, you know, I think we become too rigid and too religious at times. Yay? Yay. Okay. Now, do all of us here have an understanding that the Holy Spirit baptism is for today? And that we should all be ministering when God gives us opportunity to be sharing of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. That's why I want to spend some time in 2 weeks from now on the Feast of Pentecost, and just looking at this beautiful Feast of the Lord. Amen? Here it is, Isaiah 5, verse 20. Woe to those who call evil good at Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. I received an email from an organization that I get their newsletter, and this person that's the head of this organization, that his ministry is beginning to thrive a lot in his home country of Denmark, and they don't like what's taking place. The Denmark has a state church, you know, that you can become a pastor and the state will pay you. And well, he's not part of that organization. And they have started making laws. And some of their laws are directly impacting what you can and can't do. You can't say, the law now says, you can't say that marriage is just one man and one woman. If you do, we can close your organization down. You cannot just say that there's male and female because people have choice of identity in their sexuality. You can't say that Christianity is the only means of salvation to the exclusion of other religions. And if you do, we now, as the people of Denmark or the government of Denmark, can shut you down. And that's what they did. They completely shut the ministry down, and now he's moving over here. But we have to make sure that we continue to be a people of prayer because similar laws like this are being passed here. Okay? And our freedom of religion or our freedom of expression of our faith in Jesus Christ is there's a pressure, laws subtly being tucked in places, being passed, even unbeknown to us because they're not being enforced yet. But there will come a time because some of these things have been passed in another bill, clumped in little of these other little things, that in the future that they're going to try to bring this to light and to quelch or stop. And why is that happening? Because you have to remember that this is spiritual. This is not physical. This is spiritual. And you have to realize that some of these laws are the result of Satan's influence upon people and such a hatred as the Apostle Paul, before he's the Apostle Paul, when he was Saul, had such a hatred of anybody who called themselves a Christian that he was consenting to their death. And so these things are being passed because of Satan's agenda, as you've heard me say in Daniel and in other places. He thinks he can change times and seasons. He thinks that if he can get certain things established, it's going to prevent this last day harvest. It's going to prevent Jesus Christ from coming back. It's going to prevent the fulfillment of what the Word of God has to say, and especially his demise. If he can change times and seasons, if he could cause enough restraint to come against the church of Jesus Christ, that enough of us called believers will buckle and just keep our mouths shut. But you're going to find out that under extreme pressure, and most of you as believers in Jesus have already faced some hardships, some difficulties, financial, health, pressures at work. You have already come under a lot of pressure, as the Word of God says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, that the last days is also marked by perilous times or times of great stress. People are under a lot of stress nowadays. People are under extreme pressure. And if too much pressure is applied to a person that is not prepared, they break. Mental breakdowns. They just can't handle it because they don't know that there's someone who has bore all of this, and there's a relief, and there's a healing, and there's a care, and there's a love, and there's a protection, there's an encouragement in the Lord Jesus Christ. And especially the indwelling person, presence, and power of the Holy Spirit. Person, presence, and power. There has to come an understanding when you think of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God resides within you. God resides within me. Do you believe God resides within you? Are you saved and baptized with the Holy Spirit? You should be able to say, God resides within me. Therefore, knowing that, everything that God is and everything that God has, everything that he possesses, all of his promises and all his teachings are available to you then. See, you have to start coming to logical conclusions, revelation conclusions, that if it is true, which it is, that God resides within me, then you have to start thinking, who is God? And you start going, wow, now God knows everything, so he can give me some of that knowledge when I need it. God sees everything. He can cause my eyes to see things that I'm not seeing right now, right? God has all power. He's going to see me through this. God has all provision. I remember years ago when timesharing first came out, Christine and I went to one of these timesharing spiels where they tried to get you to buy it, and they promised a diamond pendant? You know, if you went and saw the whole spiel, they'd give you a diamond pendant. Well, the diamond was so small, you'd probably need a magnifying glass to see it, but let alone it was a diamond. And so we're in there, and we're talking to the individual, and he was inquiring about our finances. I said, this might sound a little old-fashioned, but my father owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. Really? I just started quoting the Word of God about what the Word of God has. And you could just see, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. You're like, oh, my gosh. Well, let me show you this timeshare with all the amenities. Yeah, yes, go ahead and see it. And after the whole spiel said, well, what do you think, Mr. Smith? Oh, we'll just take the diamond pendant and leave. You remember that, honey? Oh, but I just had to brag on God. I mean, you should have seen, I mean, he was showing us everything. He wants something to drink. Here's some, you know, just, yep, that's my father, all right. So do you want to buy it? Nah. Joan, you used to sell those, didn't you? Yeah. Did you ever have people like me in there? No, probably not, huh? Well, you know, those of us, there are some of us that are a very unique breed. Amen? And when I went in there, I said it. I mean, I know that God's my provider. He does own everything. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Now, when you have that truth on the inside of you, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Well, God dwells in you. So if you're to lose your job, don't you know that God has something else? I don't care if it's your fault or not your fault. If it is your fault, he'll show you it's your fault and you repent and you move on. Okay, Lord, what's next? I had somebody come up for prayer one time. Pastor, I was let go and I've been to 4 places. I said, oh, that's wonderful. Why is that wonderful? Shouldn't I have been hired now? I said, no, you're just getting closer to the one God has for you. You can look at it as something terrible that you've been on 4 interviews and you're not getting hired yet. Oh, where am I messing up? No, where are you going right? You're just getting closer to the one he has for you. See, faith will allow you to see what is not seen, will allow you to believe that you, something that is not in your grasp yet, but it's a reality to you on the inside. This is the place that God wants to take us. That's why at times some of you, when you find yourself not well, or you find yourself struggling with emotional things, that we go in and find out what the Word of God has to say on that, and start finding out what God's Word has to say and getting ourselves built up in it, not just confessing it, meditating on it, chewing it up, going all the different passages concerning it, and just allowing yourself to be saturated, bathed in it, steeped, and just like, oh. And then all of a sudden, inside, it clicks in as a reality. Lord God, I believe that you are my, and whatever you want to fill the blank in. It just comes out from a place of faith, and it comes to pass. And, you know, it shouldn't have to be I don't know what's going to happen. The whole thing's falling apart, and I just don't know what to do. At times, we get like that. Okay? And hopefully, there'll be a mature person. Calm down. What's going on? Let's look at the Word. Let's see what the Word of God has to say, and let's pray. Okay? We can help stabilize somebody in an unstable world. When push comes to shove, where are you? When difficulties have arrived within your life, how did you treat them? How did you handle them? When things are not going as you thought they would, or by this time in your life, how is that impacting you? When God seems distant, do you allow that to impact you? When it feels like your prayers aren't being answered, do you truly know in your spirit that God hears you? When you find yourself looking around and wondering what the heck is going on, do you find yourself going to God or blaming God? You see, we all face these type of questions. We all face these type of things that I've just said. And then when we find ourselves in it, it shows you where you're at. And if there's some change that needs to take place, then you need to like, whoa, wait a second here. I'm not where I'm at spiritually, and I want to do something about it. That is the time of reckoning. Remember, Jesus was getting ready to go into Jerusalem, and all this time of his ministry, and even the religious people couldn't understand who he was or believe who he was. And Jesus makes a statement according something like this, that, you know, it's I wanted to gather you in like a mother hen gathers in its chicks to be brought into a safe place. And he says, but you don't even know the day of your visitation. You don't even know that here God is visiting you and you're missing God when he's right here. We don't ever want to be like that. We want to make sure that if something's going on or something's about to happen, that we are gathered into that safe place and we dwell from that safe place. We live in that safe place. So when the feathers get ruffled, that we just move in closer into the Lord, not apart from him, not poking him with our beak. What's the matter? What are you doing? But realizing, no, he's your shelter. He's your protection. He's your strong tower. He's the one who's present with you. And see, it has to be real within every one of us. And for some reason, the Lord is, I don't know if it's just for one specific person today, that the bottom is going to drop out and you're going to find yourself in a free fall, or if it's for more than one, or if it's something coming in the future. But for some reason, the Lord was really emphatic upon me this morning that the sliding door underneath of a person's feet is about to be removed and they're going to start falling. But they need to know that they are secure in the fall. And that might be like, well, that's kind of weird. I'm secure in the fall. Because you know God's got you. It's almost like you're at a high dive and you're at the edge of the high dive. Now, there's some people here who don't like swimming at all, let alone a diving board, let alone a high dive. I remember when I was in the Coast Guard during boot camp and we had this, 30-foot, I forget how tall the high dive was. And you had, because you're going to be on a ship. And if you're way up there above the water, you got to know how to dive in, right? You just can't do a belly flop. You got to know how to enter into the water. And every rung on the ladder was filled with people, so there was only one way you were going to go. And that was off the diving board. And it just happened to be that there was a guy in front of me, and I'm standing up to be the next one, and he freezes, and he starts coming backward. And the boot camp instructor says, "Throw him off!" I said, well, if I throw him off, he's going to grab hold of me. We're both going to go over. I just looked at him. You better jump. And he looked at me. Oh, no. Run. Boom. Body slam. We both went off. He overcame his fear of the high dive because he had to keep going up and off, up and over until he overcame his fear. Or else you could not be in the Coast Guard. Okay? And so there are things that are going to happen to us. And if we are like that person, this is at times how faith looks. You're on the high dive and you're looking down at the Olympic pool and there's no water in it and you know you have to jump. There's just something supernatural about God that either there's going to be water there by the time you get there or a net to catch you. And most of us, if we look in the natural, we won't do it. But if we truly, truly, truly know that God is with us and the jump has to be made because there's no way of getting back. The only thing left is forward. Then and only then, did you hear what I said? There's no way back, okay? And you know that the only way to go is forward, then you're willing to make that step, okay? That's how secure we are to be in our relationship, fellowship, and walk with God. That's how secure you are to be. Most of you know that I've been trusting God for certain things within my own life for a number of years. And God's got me. God has me. There is such an assurance that I have with inside my spirit that sometimes when I come up here, it's supernatural. Sometimes Christy and I will talk after a service, how'd you do that today? It's all Jesus. But see, you're not to know that. See, you don't need to know what I'm overcoming. You need to know that God has spoken to my heart and there's something that he wants me to minister to you. It's, could you all just pray for me again today? It's not that I don't get prayer, but there is ministry that God wants to do with you. Okay? I know God's got me, and I know that when he has me, then he's got something now for you. Amen? You didn't come here to, let me just go over some things that I'm going through right now. And you're like, really? You're really going to go there? But when you have an assurance, when you have a certainty that in the midst of no matter what you're facing, no matter the pain that you might be experiencing, no matter the reports that might be and said, Isaiah 53 verse 1, whose report do you believe? Whose report do you believe? I believe the Lord's report. I believe God's report. Larry sometimes uses this, he says it this way, that man or doctors may give you the diagnosis, but what's God's prognosis? What is God's way for you? What does God want you to, what, what does, Where does God want you to go? What direction does God have for you? Okay? We know that the Lord heals. We know that he restores life. But what specifically, where you're at in your faith today, what is God's determined purpose for you? Frank's faith may be at one place. His wife, Michelle, may be at another. Your faith, Bill, may be at one place. Sharon's faith may be at another. And the Lord knows where all of you are at. But Sharon may be at a high level, and my sister Carol may be at another level, and Bill may even be over Sharon. So Bill can't expect Sharon's faith to be where his faith is, nor Carol's faith where Bill's faith is. He knows you as an individual, and he knows exactly what you can hear. He knows exactly the path you're supposed to go on. So be careful that you don't condemn somebody for the choice that they've made, because you're at a higher level spiritually, because it can become a form of spiritual pride. But get underneath there and help them. Get underneath there and support them. Don't, you know, if a person, they believe that they've made a choice, if they truly have made a choice, I really believe that this is what the Lord wants me to do. I'm not going to give you a scenario of what it is. Don't be the one, well, I didn't do it that way. I believe God. You're just crushing the person. You know, here they think what's the matter with my faith? Where am I missing it? And then all of a sudden, it just brings forth all these different questions within inside you. There is a way to encourage a person right where they're at and also help them see where God wants to take them. Amen? Okay. We're not all where God wants us to be, but bless God, we're all heading there. Right? So you have to make sure that in any circumstance or situation that you're finding yourself in, that you're not blaming God. That you don't have a beef with God, or what are you allowing? What's up with this? That shows immaturity. That shows spiritual immaturity. And that's okay as long as you don't stay there. Okay? That when that comes out of your mouth, that you just have to realize, if it comes out of somebody's mouth, just realize they're spiritually immature in that area. And help build up their faith, help strengthen them, because God isn't the one who's to blame. Now listen, is God good? Is God perfect? Is God righteous? Is God love? Is God the provider? Is God the healer? Is God the deliverer? Is he the one who has secured the victory for us? Then how can the problem be with God? But somehow in our unrenewed, convoluted mind at times, that our feelings and our emotions somehow like, well, if you are who you say you are, what's up? And there are some here who say that. Okay? You come to a place in spiritual maturity and spiritual growth that you never blame God, but you find yourself when difficulties happen, when the bottom falls out, or things aren't going the way that you think they should, in your own personal life, with a relative's life, or where you're living, you know, whatever it might be, your workplace, that you go to God. Not blame God. Big difference. Okay? And so use it as I don't understand. You could be at a place of total like, I have no blooming idea what's happening, but you know what? I know you're good. I know you're for me. I know, Lord God, what Jesus Christ has secured on my behalf. I feel like you're 100 miles away, but I'm going to talk as if you're right here. Oh, wait a second, you are. Oh, wait a second. I'm saved and baptized with the Holy Spirit. You're right here. Right here. I'm just going to, by faith, trust you. I'm going to find out what your word has to say. And if, by chance, that it's a whirlwind up here, I'm going to call a mature brother or sister, or I'm going to go up for prayer, and I'm going to have them pray or speak over me what the word of God has to say. Amen? You see the difference there? So you need to find yourself in a place that you're going to trust him more securely. You're going to remind yourself of who he is, that you are not alone. Other people are going through the same thing. The devil has a way of trying to make you feel isolated, that you're the only person going through what you're facing. It's just that your eyes have blinders on right here, and there's all kinds of people that are actually in the same boat, right? But the enemy tries to make you feel that in such a way that you've been isolated, that you're alone, and there's none to help, not even God. And that you're going to start looking to Jesus and not away from Jesus, knowing that you are loved of God, knowing that nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing, When I say nothing can separate you from the love of God, I'm talking about the forces that are hitting you or things that are being introduced into your life. They can't separate you from the love of God, but your own unrenewed mind and your own reasoning can say that you're separated from the love of God, and that's what you got to get a hold of. Hello? Okay, there's just a couple things that I wrote down here that I want you to hear. Most of us know this. In Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, it says, there is therefore what? There is therefore, I like that. What's that fourth word? Now. Where? When? Now. There is therefore now no condemnation or a sentence of judgment upon those who are in Christ Jesus. Did we just not sing a song today that he took our wrath away? That he the wrath of God was satisfied in Jesus Christ? Are you in Christ? And the wrath of God's been satisfied and you're free from condemnation. Period. I don't care what you're feeling like. I don't care what somebody says to you. If you know you're clean and you're forgiven before God right now and you are in Christ Jesus. Well, Pastor, what about this and that? It feels like I'm in hell, but the Word of God tells me in Psalm 139, even if I make my bed in hell, where can I go from your presence? Where can I go from your spirit? And you may be felt like you're the lowest God-forsaken thing that there is, but there's a truth residing on the inside of you. I can't go anywhere from the Lord. I belong to Him. He is mine. His Spirit is within me. I can't ever go away from His presence. He is right there with me. And there are certain things that you have to remind yourself of when your feelings and your emotions and your carnal mind try to take you down a path that God has not intended for you to go down. Amen? These are truths that you have to have. And it goes on here to say, it says, who make a choice in their way of thinking and a choice of their conduct of their life, you do not purposely walk according to the flesh. How many of you just get up in the morning and say, you know, I'm going to live like hell today. I'm going to live like the devil. I'm going to just choose everything. You know, see, as believers, we don't do that. We don't do that. So you purposely desire to walk in the Spirit, right? You purposely desire or have an understanding, I'm a child of God, therefore I'm led by the Spirit of God. The law of sin and death has been broken over my life. I walk in, what does it say here? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So I just wrote down here, you are in Christ. You don't walk and live in the flesh. Sin, carnal desires of the flesh or of this world. You walk and you're in line with and by the Holy Spirit. You have the very Spirit of life in you and you are free in Jesus Christ. Over here in verses 5 and 6, it talks about the carnal mind and the spiritual mind. How many of you just purpose like, oh, I'm just going to let my mind go and just think of any horrible, disgusting thing I want right now? True believers in Jesus don't do that. You may find yourself at times, a daydream may come up, and if you don't get it, it will go down the path that you don't want it to go down. It's like I'm sitting there looking at my iPhone in the waiting room, try not to have anything that's, you know, listening to what's going on the TV, reading something spiritual. You know, you don't want to hear any of that stuff, but you know what? The world has a way of making something funny, even though it's not funny. Okay? There was like some little one-liners in there, and I found myself chuckling. I was like, that's how insidious it is that I found myself chuckling at a one-liner, and I'm like going, no, 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 no chuckling here. Boom, change the channel, okay? I couldn't get up and walk out because it was an enclosed MRI waiting room, and you had to have special permission to get in there, so there it is. Doi. And so you have to make a choice. I purpose to have a spiritual mind. Amen? And so you have a choice here. When you read verses 5 and 6, and it says here, for those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on things of the flesh, of the world, of the carnal, of base things, that which is not of God. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. In other words, you set your mind on things that God is pleased with. To be carnally minded is death, or lead you to a separation from God. How many of us would purposely like, oh, I want to be separated from God now and all eternity? That's ridiculous. But it says here to be carnally minded is death. It's just not talking physical death. The believer and the unbeliever all die. So you have to realize it's talking about a different kind of death. It's talking about a death that will cause a separation of you and the Lord. And like, whoa, I don't want that to enter into my life. Some of us have to make some hard choices of certain things. Because passively, you can be passive about something and be accepting something and not even realizing it. It's just like, okay, you're seated here today. And you are allowing yourself to hear what I have to say. Hopefully everybody. Some of you are probably taking day trips as I'm talking. But hopefully you're all listening. Karen's like, nope, not me. We have a choice, do we not? And we have a desire. But you have to realize that this setting here, whether it be a couch setting at home, whether it be a setting in somebody's house that you're having communication with, that you're talking to, or in a restaurant, they're basically the same setting. They're chairs, and somebody's going to be speaking, and you're going to give them their attention, or it's going to, if you're in a restaurant, then it really gets changed real quick. Then the other person's talking, and you're submitting, or you're listening, okay? Or wherever it's your home, and you got the little clicker, click, 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 and you have to realize that it's a place of submission. It's a place of submission. So the question that you have to ask yourself, what are you yielding or submitting to? Okay? And is it going to lead to a spiritual mind or more of carnal desires being awakened within you? And you have to realize that it is a spiritual warfare. And you have to be on guard of your life. And that's where a lot of people struggle. Where a lot of people have a hard time in their walk with God, because there is nothing wrong with this. In their mind and in their thinking, this is okay. But if you don't see the spirit behind it and what is motivating that spirit to cause you to be carnal, so that the last part of this, death, will operate within your life to draw you away or spiritually separate you from being attuned to the things of God. And then, I don't know why I'm not hearing God. I don't know what's wrong with me. Well, compare your entertainment time to your spiritual time. I'll just say that. And sometimes, like I said, it gets very quiet, but this is my desire. To be carnally minded is death, not for me. Can you say that? Not for me. I'm not a carnally minded person. I refuse to allow that which comes into my life to lead me in a place that's going to separate me from my life and walk with God. It's too dear to me. But to be spiritually minded, oh, that's what we could use a whole lot more of. Life and peace. Has your peace been agitated this week? Are you tranquil? Have you been tranquil this whole week? Or have some things tried to get in there and throw some stones in your water? But it says here that there's an ability that we have that we can be a spiritually minded person, enjoying the very life that God is and God has, and walking in the peace that He is. And so, you know, this right here, when you read something like this, you have to be able to say to yourself that, you know, listen, Lord God, I just thank you that what this verse here says, these verses say that the Apostle Paul wrote, that I am a spiritual person, Lord God, and I'm able to discern that which is carnal and that which is spiritual. And that you, even by your spirit, can quicken these things to me. And I thank you, Lord God, that I desire to love you and I desire to follow you all the days of my life. And when I'm convicted of it, Lord God, I will listen. I will listen to you, Lord God, because there is nothing, I do not ever want to be separated from you, Lord God. Therefore, you have to help me, Lord God, just by convicting me so I make the proper choices, that I'm enjoying more of your life and staying in your tranquility and peace. You see, I personalize the Word of God when I read it. I hope you personalize the Word of God when you read it, that you meditate on it, you make it a statement of faith. When I make it a statement of faith, when I've meditated on it and I've prayed about it, then the Holy Spirit is very, I'm very sensitive to the Holy Spirit in that area. And as long as I'm following, if He's convicted me about something or if He's nudging me about something, or like most of you know, the Lord will just like go, uh-uh. I just, you know, basically with inside me, like, you know, that's not for you, Mark. The moment I say yes to it, there's more of the spiritual life of God that's imparted to me or released in me. But the moment I resist that, then carnality or the things not of God start taking an ascendancy. It's very gradual. It's very gradual. But the more that you say no to the Holy Spirit, then the more of a dominating effect that it will have within your life. And the things of God just become, you just become lukewarm. Not cold, not hot. I'm okay. You're okay. We're all okay. We love Jesus. We're going to get there. But there's real no life. And then all of a sudden, how did I get this way? I guarantee you that you'll be able to go back to a time where the Holy Spirit was convicting you about something or nudging you or speaking to you. And you know what's so good about God? Because God is good, amen? That He reveals that to you to convict you so you can confess it and get back on track. See, that's what you have to realize. Remember, there is now, therefore, no condemnation. He doesn't want you to be under that burden or under that weight, but He does need to have it confessed and rectified. Okay? And that's what you have to realize what it does within us, so that you can come down to verse 14 and just say, I'm a person who's filled with the Spirit of God. I'm a child of God, therefore I'm led by the Spirit of God. I do not have a spirit of bondage. I do not live in a spirit of fear, because I have received the Spirit of adoption. I'm a child of God through Jesus Christ, and God is my Abba Father. And I thank you that the Spirit of God bears witness within my spirit and to my life that I am a child of God. And everything that God is, as one of His children, I inherit also. And everything that Jesus is, I'm a co-inheritor of all that Jesus is and all that Jesus possesses. So you have to allow your mind to be able to pray like that, to believe like that. And because these things are such a reality that we've just looked at verses 1 and 2, and we've looked at verses 5 and 6, and I just basically quoted my prayer from 14, 15, 16, and 17, because you have to be able to get down here to verse 28 where it says that we know that all things, what is not covered in all things? Somebody getting fired, is that an all thing? Your needs not being met, is that something? Okay, you going through a difficulty. Okay, all things work together for the good. Work together for the good. Didn't say that is good, what you find yourself in, but it can work together for the good if you have a proper spiritual God perspective. Okay? You got to get the God perspective in it. Okay? Me, at 3-something in the morning, when a policeman knocks at the door and tells me I no longer have a son, he's entered into eternity, is not a good thing. But God has worked that horrible thing to a wonderful, wonderful, closer walk that I've had with Him. Oh, I was getting ready to say it, and it's true. It's become a beautiful thing. But see, only God can do that. But see, other people get angry, and they get upset, and they get bitter. Well, if you're God, why did you take my son? There were moments of thoughts like that, moments of darkness. Moments of darkness. Moments. Tears. Christine said, you know, I didn't realize at times she would hear the deep sobbing that I would do. But then there would be like a reckoning that would take place. There was something that would come to the surface. God, I'm broken. I'm shattered in a million pieces. And yet I know you're good. I don't know how you're going to put me back together again, but I know you will. See, that's the place. See, I didn't run from God. I ran to God. Because I know the character and nature of God. I've walked with Him long enough that devastating circumstances will, I don't run from Him, I run to Him. Even things that would destroy people's lives. You find yourself knowing all things work together for the good. Because I'm a person who loves God, and I did hear the call of the gospel, and I said yes, and I become a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, I don't know how, but you are going to work it for good, for blessing, to praise and glory and honor to your name. See, that's the place that you have to be able to come to. So when it comes down here to verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? So you have to understand the things that he's talking about in the verses above it so that you can be able to answer, what shall we say to these things? What shall we say to these things? What shall we say when condemnation comes upon our life? What shall we be able to say when things try to get our mind to go into a different direction? What shall we be able to say when you feel like you're not a child of God and you feel like the bottom's dropping out? What shall we be able to say to all these things? Now, wait a second. The condemnation and the wrath has been taken care of. I don't have to live in a carnal mind. I can live in a spiritual mind. I am not a child of this world. I'm a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And this hell that I'm going through, Jesus Christ has an answer for me. He's going to work it together for the good. So what shall I say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? That's the place that you got to be able to come to. That's the place that you got to be able to live from. God is for you. God is with you. God dwells inside of you. Amen? This is the place that you, it's just one thing to be able to say it. What shall we say to these things? God is for us, and who can be against us? Is this real, though? Are these questions that the Apostle Paul is writing here, are they real? He did not spare his own son, but delivered him up. I got this circled, these next three words. For us all. Who is not included in that? But delivered him up, delivered Jesus up for us all. How shall he not with him, or with Jesus, also freely give you or provide all things? So even the all things that we've gone through that are horrible, or the things that we don't want to go through, he's going to provide all these wonderful things in their place. Isn't that great? But you got to know this. See, this has to be meditated on. This has to be taken in and thought about and chewed on over and over. And you'll know. You'll know if it's real in you. Like I said, if I'm standing here and the ground just starts moving away and woo, you find yourself in a free fall. Something deep within inside. I'm falling. I'm broken. This is messed up. I don't know how God's going to do it, but I know my God is for me. Not just for me, he dwells within me. Lord God, I don't know where this is going, but I know you're going to work it together for the good. I don't even understand at this present moment what that means, but I know you will. There's just something on the inside of you that begins just to believe God. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Has anybody ever brought a charge against you? Oh, you call yourself a Christian. Right? You didn't justify yourself. Jesus justified you. So if somebody's pointing out an error in your life that you need to overcome, you know you're absolutely right. Don't make excuses for it. Don't lie. Own up to it. I misspoke. I lied. I thought it was God and it wasn't God. Be honest. People like your honesty. People like your honesty. They can see through your deception. Own up to it. Yeah, you're right. You know what? I'm not the one who died for my sins, and I misspoke. I thought I heard it from God. I thought this was of God. You're absolutely right. Take ownership of it, repent of it, and move on with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? If you try to cover up? What does the scripture say in Proverbs? He who covers his sins. I remember seeing a picture of this one time. It's like, you know, one of those area rugs. I think, you just keep putting it over, and all of a sudden there's a big mound there. The area rug's still there, but you know something's underneath it. He who covers his sins shall not prosper, but he who confesses them and forsakes them shall obtain mercy. Old Testament word mercy, New Testament word forgiveness. Shall obtain the mercy of God. So he doesn't want us to bury him or to cover him up, because eventually, that one that you buried there, there's a whole bunch of others, and they're going to come back to bite you. And you're going to have to own up to them sooner or later. Okay? So why don't I just do it now? Okay? Eat some humble pie, which I eat quite a bit of. That's sometimes some of my favorite dessert. But that tells me God's working on me. And I don't need to cover it up. Amen? I need to confess it and forsake it. Just receive all the love and forgiveness that God has for me. Hallelujah. But let me just get down to this. The reason why Paul is saying all these things, because he was able to see on the spiritual horizon of things coming. Things that the church was going through and things that the church will yet go through. And that's why, just got a few minutes left here, that's why I believe that he wrote this so that you as believers in Jesus, when these things begin to happening, you will not be separated from the love of God or from the love of Christ Jesus. Amen? And he goes on. Yeah, that's right. You just say amen. You can say, oh, you can say a whole bunch more amens because I need someone to start amen and something here. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of God in Christ? And then it starts talking about things that all of us face in life. Shall tribulation, when you're squeezed, distress, pressure comes on you, when you're persecuted for the word of God, when things dry up, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. It says, will these type of things that happen in your life, will you allow them to separate you from the love? What does it say here? From the love of who? The love of Christ. This love of God or love of Christ is spoken three times from verse 35 to verse 39. Three times it's referred to. So what are these things trying to do? They're trying to separate you and say that God doesn't love you. He doesn't see you. He doesn't understand you. He doesn't know what you're going through. He loves you. He sees. He understands. And he's also made a provision. Do not allow your love from God to be separated from your life. Don't run from him. Run to him. Because these things, Paul knew that they were going to happen. These things are coming down the pike even more in our lives. We may not want them to. Pastor, that's a bad confession. Even Jesus in Matthew chapter 24 says, they're going to come to pass. I've told you ahead of time. So all, if you, I'm just going to confess that it doesn't happen. If Jesus already said they're going to happen, that means you're actually coming against the word of God. Hello? No, I don't think you looked at it that way. Okay, verse 37. Here's another time the word love is used. Yet in all these things, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, and sword. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who what? Loved us. And then he goes on and talks about the spiritual side of it. For I'm persuaded the result of these natural things are the result of the spiritual realm manifesting in the physical realm. For I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. That's how usually it comes to you. The devil usually uses a person, uses a circumstance, uses something in the natural, and it's really a spiritual attack against us, right? We should be able to say this also, that none of these things shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The reason why I believe that God had me share these things with you today, I'm not speaking anything negative over anybody. I'm not speaking anything that's full of unbelief. The Word of God says these things are going to be experienced by you, and I think it even says in 1 Peter chapter 5, these same things are being experienced by your brothers and sisters all over the world. Don't think it to be a strange thing, okay? They happen. It's just where, when it does happen, it reveals where your heart's at. It reveals where your faith is at. It reveals where your belief is at. And if there's some of you here today that it needs to be shored up, then you need to talk to the Lord about it. Don't just cover it up. Well, I'm just believing. That's not going to happen to me. That doesn't change that when it does happen, then you're unprepared. He doesn't want you to be unprepared. He wants this deeply seated within your spirit so that when something does occur, that you know God has the answer. God is the provider. God is almighty. God, if 1,000 fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, it's not going to come near you. There's an assurance that you have that God is your source, God is your protection, God is your refuge, God is your shield, God is your strong tower, God's got you, and he's also within you. And these things need to be so strong on the inside of you that you find yourself speaking and living from this place, okay? At times, you may need a correction, a course correction, okay? Hey, course corrections in our navigation systems happen all the time. You don't think anything of it. You pass the exit. What is usually the GPS say? Yeah, turn around, correcting. It just makes a correction to get you back on track. We don't think any big deal. We go down, make a U-turn, find our way back. We just do it. Then why do we make such a big deal spiritually? You got off track. You missed the road that you were supposed to go on. Correcting, or whatever it says, you know. Receive the correction, move in the direction of the correction, and get back on track. It's just as simple as that. Don't beat yourself up. Don't kick yourself, okay? I mean, when that happens on your GPS, you know, do you slam the brakes on, put it in park, and get outside and start trying to kick yourself? Oh, here's the light. I'll just turn around here. And you make a course correction. Well, hopefully, those of you that are spiritual just do it naturally. I mean, you know, do not sit there and, oh, dummy. Yeah. Quit beating yourself up. Father God, I just would like to thank you right now in the name of Jesus. I don't know if this is for all of us or if this is for some of us or a specific person, Lord, that you want them to hear this today concerning the very person, presence, and power of yourself within our lives through the fullness and the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you want us to rely on you that dwell within us. And we are very simply told in 1 John 4:4 that you are greater. You are of God, little children. You are of, can you say you're of God this morning? Thank you, Father, that we're able to say that I am of God, I am his child, because greater is he that lives and dwells and has his life within me than anything that I can face that comes to me from this world. I want these truths, Lord God, just not to be quotations, Lord God, but I want it to come from a place of life within them. I know that you're doing this and that the lights are clicking on, Lord. There's people being able to grasp this. I know some people turned off. It's okay. But you're going to do course correction. Not that we're saying anything's going to happen, but you say these things do come into our life. We do come under a squeeze. Oppression sometimes does hit us. The carnal mind tries to say things to us that are not the truth, Lord. But we know with inside of our hearts, we refuse to be separated from your love. We don't blame you. We run to you. And I thank you, Father, if there's anybody here today that has more of a tendency of blaming you or yelling at you or where are you? Why'd you let this happen to me? I pray, Father, that you are going to help that person go from a place of immaturity to maturity. You're going to help them through your word, Lord God, to see who you are. And that they can be developed in faith in this area, Lord. That they can be developed in you to trust in, to rely on, to call upon you, and to have a clear understanding that you do answer. You do answer, Lord God. You do provide. You do show the way. And so I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, our Almighty God, who reigns over us. We allow your reign, Lord God, over our lives. Not only that, you call us friends. That means, Lord, that you desire such an intimate talk with us, a close talk with us. So, Lord, I just pray for all of us here today that you allow simple truths that we've heard before to allow my brothers and sisters to go back over some of these truths, Lord God, and receive them as personal revelations to themselves. It will require for them to, on their own, Lord God, to look up these passages, to stay with them long enough until that word becomes you dwelling within them, living alive in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.